Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for August 7th, 2023. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 397. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today I have arranged for Sunny Harris to join us again. You should be seeing her screen right now. And the option professor is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And welcome, everybody. We've got a big week starting off. Interest rates popped up again a little bit, and stock market's having a bit of a rebound after a rough week. So we'll have to see what's going on. With us today is Sunny Harris, and Sunny has a money mentor, and she also has technical indicators called Sunny Bands. So for people who are not familiar, Sunny, a little background on yourself and what's going on at Money Mentor?
Sure. I am the host, creator, and programmer for moneymentor.com. I am a professional trader. I've been trading for 42 years, just over that. And I trade the ES primarily, and I do trade stocks on a longer term chart. And let's see, I've just finished writing the definitive guide to TradeStation's Easy Language and OOEL Programming. Volume one is now available on amazon.com.
Excellent.
Volume two next week.
Sounds great. The more you know, right? Just like that thing on TV, the more you know. Okay, well, let's get into it here a little bit, because there's a lot to cover, because the markets are, in my view, they're entering into a very, very dangerous zone one way or the other, meaning August through October. You know, it, to me, in my newsletter, I said it's either going to be new highs or a 10% correction. I don't think it's going to be nothing. So let's try to figure out which way it is going to possibly go. Before we start, though, we always on Monday go over where you think the market might be on Friday. And obviously with CPI and PPI out at the end of the week, you know, things can change dramatically. But it looks like we opened around 4,500 today. And obviously, you got about a 27 point head start if you're bullish. But where do you think from 4,500 will close on Friday? Above 4,500 or below?
This one's really hard. You can see on my chart, I've got a flat DMA, the purple and gold in the middle of the DMA, and it's
right.
Flat, and that means congestion.
Yeah.
So it could either go up to that DMA and yeah, break above it, or it could go all the way down to the lower one at 44.42.
Right.
It's just no way to tell with the DMA flat like that. So I'm going to.
Which probably means the way that CPI comes out is probably the way they're going to push it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think by tomorrow it'll go down to this line that I've, the cursor that I've got there. But the end of the week, that's anybody's guess. I'm not even 50-50 either way.
Yeah. The to actually be interested again, because I was interested in shorting up above 4,600, to be interested on the short side again, I would like it to go back up into somewhat near that neighborhood and then hit it again. If you're a believer that, you know, the higher interest rates and the seasonal factors and stocks like Apple having lower revenues three quarters in a row and being at a 30 PE ratio, you know, if that's going to get a little tiring for the market, which I'm suspecting it might, then I'm obviously looking for a place to sell on a rally. But obviously the market can do anything it wants to do. But what's your kind of view on, you know, do you think we could get a rally that would fade, or are you thinking we're going to blow out the highs, go out to the highs, or what do you think?
I think we're going to blow out the highs, but I don't think it's going to be this week.
Okay. So you're not that, you know, concerned about inflation re-engaging with your oil prices going up or anything like that?
Well, oil prices are certainly going up, that's for sure. Larry Williams and, Larry Williams is predicting a little bit of a down move and then new highs.
Yeah.
Glenn Neely, NeoWave, is predicting extended highs. So okay. I don't know.
Yeah, so those guys are basically saying, listen, the market's in a basic uptrend. And so this is a dip in an uptrend, and a dip in an uptrend you buy and you look for the uptrend to reengage.
Exactly.
Yeah. As opposed to forecasting that, you know, news will turn negative and the market trend will change. You know,
Yeah.
Because the only thing that has me going a little bit is a reversion to the mean type thing, you know.
Mean right here is the flat DMA. So
yeah, I'm just wondering if you looked at a longer term graph, you know, maybe a 5-year graph or something like that, or well, even a 1-year graph. Yeah, see where a lot of your averages are well below the market there.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, what they're saying is that this thing is going to, you know, blow through these highs of 4,600 and change. But do they think it's going 4,800 or 5,000, or are they thinking it blows it out by a little bit and maybe fades from there?
It's going to go to 4,925, right?
Okay.
Yellow dot is.
All right. So that's basically a, you know, a nonstop run then. And that probably means that the small caps and the mid caps are going to really start going, as well as value. And some of the ones that have been lagging a little bit or not having a big move, you know, to broaden the market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would probably mean you'll get some action on those, I think.
Well, this is one of my favorites lately. I mean, this is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And I call horizontal lines, moving averages, trend lines, all that kind of stuff, I call attractors.
Yeah.
And right there is a nice solid attractor that goes through, hits here, hits here, hits here. And it's going, looks like it's going to use it as support to go on up on Meta.
Yeah, you had the one dip and that's all they could make out of it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you seeing any kind of, like, do you ever use RSI or do you have any type of momentum indicator? Cause on Meta, on some of the things that I'm looking at here, it seems to be losing some of its, mojo on the RSI.
Well, let's look at RSI. I don't look at it. No, but we can sure take a look.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one factor I like, because it does show you if volume or whatever momentum is drying up. And if it's drying up, sometimes that is an indicator of getting tired, you know?
Well, we're in overbought territory on the RSI. So it's above, and I use, what is this, a 75 and 30 on this. Actually, I usually use, well, yeah, 70 and 30, because that's what Constance Brown uses, Connie Brown. Yeah. And I think she's very accurate on that. I don't use 80 and 20. I use 70 and 30. So we are in overbought territory.
And you see the one peak you have there on your RSI,
right there?
You know, was up at 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then the market makes a new high and your RSI peak is at a little bit of a lower level there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so that's the kind of stuff, you know, that kind of sometimes can tell you it's getting tired. Because if you look at the former highs, you know, it got into that little bit of a red zone and then the RSI started to fade a little bit. And the next thing you know, the thing was giving up a little bit.
But RSI can stay overbought in a bull market for
a long time. It's just that, you know, if you're looking at probabilities, if the RSI is weakening and you're 9 miles away from your moving averages, you might want to show some respect to that.
Well, what I look at is the momentum shift on the dynamic moving average histogram, these gold and red, purple and green bars.
Right.
You see how we had a sell warning here and it's been going down ever since?
Yeah.
This could come down and cross over and we'd go further down as it crossed over into purple below the zero line. But I'm thinking this thing's going to come down real close to the zero line and go on back up again.
I got you. And so if it did go from red to purple, that would be an indicator that the thing would be going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because like you can see that at some point, it does tend to go back towards the purple.
It does. It does. As it gets
and so,
shorter,
you know,
and shorter, then it goes on to purple. And then when it turns green again, it's telling me start looking for longs. But,
yeah.
You know, we don't see any long trades in there until over here.
Yeah. And the interesting thing with the options is if there is a turning point that's going to pull back to 285, you know, the opportunity for, because I'm sure the puts are shrinking by the day when it rallies, you know what I mean? You could probably get a pretty inexpensive position that could explode in price if you could get in there before the correction got down to the purple line, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, Meta's looking good. Anything else you heard of with Larry on any of the other markets offhand? Or?
Well, he mostly looks at the futures markets and he likes to look at the ES. So
yeah,
we can sure look at the ES.
Sure.
And the interesting thing about this is on the weekly chart, it has given a sunny band sell signal right here on this bar, but it did not confirm it on today's or this week's bar.
Yeah.
That could real easily just turn and go on up when it hits that upper inner band right
yeah.
here. That could easily go on up.
And yeah.
that would, and then if we go back to the daily, we're on the same symbol. So that would have it coming down just to the lower inner band and then moving back up to the outer band.
Yeah. So getting a close above 45, 45, 45?
45-45 is where the DMA is. If we get a pause above there, we're going on up.
Yeah, exactly. And so at least you have a look, because again, right now, you know, a little bit of a dead cat bounce, but above, but above 45-45, it's now getting its legs back. You know what I mean?
Right.
On the RSI that I look at, it did have a, you know, when the market went down to last Thursday, it went as low as 45.16 and the RSI was 29. We made a new low on Friday down to 44.93 and the RSI is 38. So that's telling you that you're going to bounce, and which is exactly what it did here today so far. Mm-hmm. So, but again, the bounce is not, you know, is not enough sometimes. So 45.
We've got some interesting news coming out this week too.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of it later in the week, but some earlier. Yeah. So, so that's pretty much what that looks like. Again, you know, the reversion to the mean thing is out there on a lot of these things. Because, you know, the 200-day average on the S&P is around 4,100. On the NASDAQ, it's 11,990. So figure 12,000. So, you know, we're fairly high above those. And
I put these three moving averages on.
Yeah.
It'll come up in just a second. And it's really kind of cool. This is what, of course, an indicator that I wrote. And you see the 200s down here.
Yeah.
And it says greater than 200. So I can tell without even looking which moving average this is and whether price is above or below it.
Yeah.
We're above the 55. And right there in the middle of that DMA is the 21 moving.
Okay. So it's right in there.
Yeah. So we have to get above that 21 before we're going back up. Otherwise, we're going to go down to the 55, which is at the bottom sunny band.
Yeah. And that's the dip that one of those guys was thinking about before maybe we take off again, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, and, you know, you still got the same story out there, which is, you know, possibly underinvestment. I mean, I don't know. It seems like anybody who wanted to get in the market should be in by now.
Well, I think a lot of people got out as we made a new high on Meta or something like that the other day. It's in Sunnyside of the Street, which I send out every Sunday night. Anybody wants a free issue of that, just give me a call. My number, by the way, is 760-908-3070. I'll put that in the chat.
Sure.
And I take phone calls. I'll even take phone calls while I'm driving to Las Vegas today.
Well, it's a long drive.
I'm not driving. I'm not driving. My assistant's driving. I'm going to read.
Yeah. You want to turn around to some of the other markets that, the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index has turned up.
What is that symbol?
I don't know what it is in everyone else's. Mine is GDU, but we always have some trouble sometimes finding it. So is there any way to do a search of it? Like if you put in Goldman Sachs Commodity Index? Goldman Sachs Commodity Index. Yeah, let's see if they can. Because it's an important index because half of it is in oil and the other half primarily is in metals and grain. And it was it used to be at 850 and it dropped to 525. And now it's trying to get through 600.
Which one of these do you want?
Goldman Sachs Commodity. I didn't know Goldman Sachs had so many indexes here.
How about that? Yeah, here we go. Let's try this. Oh, no, not that one. Where did it go? Here.
That's bonds or something like that. Well, anyway, let's just go right to the oil. Let's go to the three elements that are in there, and we'll go to the price of crude oil.
There you go. No, that's gold. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
So crude oil is going up, up, up on the daily chart, and we've got an attractor right here. So it's going to go up there and hit that and either break above it or go back down off of it.
It seems like oil's at a point up here in this 83-84 area. We got 83.68.
Yep.
You know.
And we're right below that. So chances are it's going to go up. Now, you know, this can be affected by news real easily. I mean, all Russia has to do is something and the price of oil will go on up.
Yeah, well, also they're bombing something to do with the Russian transport of oil, kind of like the Russians bombed them on the grain.
Yeah, they're going to bomb each other.
Yeah. Now, there's a stock called Devon Energy, DVN, that to me is really at a critical point around this $50 mark. And see if you see that. And obviously, if you go back at all, like if you go back, how far are you going back here for like 6 months or 1 year?
It's about as far back as you want.
There you go. Look at this. That gives you a perspective that, you know, in 22, a year ago, it was as high as 80. And you can see how it came back down here. And so if this oil is for real, there'd be a lot of potential in Devon Energy. And it seems like you're right in the neighborhood of support around here, you know?
Well, I think this one's going to try for the 200 moving average. Whether it'll get above it this time or not, I don't know, but it's sure going to give it a good try.
Yeah.
So we could move from 60, let's see, from where are we currently? Right here, 51 up to 58.
And how about Occidental Petroleum, the one that Buffett loves?
What is it?
OXY, you know, you got it. Yeah.
Okay.
So got a little more pep in the step.
Yeah, we're going to go up to 67 on that one. It is above the 200. You see this 200 average?
Yeah, right here? Yeah.
So it's above that, which is a bullish sign to get above that. It's above the other two. So yeah, we're going to move on up to, what did that say, 67?
Yeah. And a couple of the servicing ones, Halliburton, HAL, and Schlumberger.
Not very many people can say that.
I know.
A lot of people say Schlumberger.
Schlumberger. But this one, this one's got some legs to it, really.
Yeah, and it's, look at that attractor right there. We're right at it.
You're right at it, yeah.
It hits it here, and now it's hitting it again. It's probably going to stumble at that price.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be surprised to see it go on up to 43.
How about SLB?
Lumberjack. Well, it's above all three of them. And see how it's rounding over here at the top of this?
Yeah.
And we've got an attractor right there above it.
Yeah.
So it's having a hard time getting above that line.
I think what you're establishing here is that crude oil is hitting some type of resistance, and the oil stocks themselves are hitting some resistance possibly. So this might be a time, this rather than running into oil like everybody has been doing, it might be time to taking a step back and seeing if we get some kind of a dip.
I'm kind of a different investor from a lot of people. I don't buy lows.
Mm-hmm.
I buy new highs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when this thing breaks out above this yellow dot right here, that's where I would be a buyer.
Yeah, because that's where you'll have momentum and short covering and
The short covering is always fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about in the natural gas space, RRC? This thing's been very good to me.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. See how the gold just on the histogram, the gold just went above the zero line?
Not bad, right?
About 2 weeks above the zero line there.
Right.
So that's speaking to higher prices.
And the other one is a WMB, Williams Company. Those are your two the two natural gas ones that I kind of follow. I'm sure there's 9 million out there.
Same story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So natural gas looks pretty good, and the crude energy stocks could be on a pause to refresh. Huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to roll over a little bit and then go on up.
All right. Well, that's half of the Goldman Sachs index. What about gold? Because gold, seems to having a hard time at that 1950 right now.
Mm-hmm. See the flat DMA we've got at the right-hand side of this chart?
Yeah.
So that tells me congestion is in order right here. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bars of just nothing right there along the side. This is this little blue dotted line is the 21 week, in this case, moving average. So it needs to get out above that. I'd like to see 2000 gold again.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been holding a lot of gold, so.
And Newmont Mining is okay. What else are you seeing here? Like, I mean, give us some key prices for you, like closing back above, it looks like 1969, 1970, and would be a good number.
Above the DMA, we're going on up, and that's right at 2000.
Okay. So you really need a 2000.
Yeah.
To get the thing going. And what about Newmont Mining? You know, pays 4% dividend.
It's a symbol.
NEM. And this is a way where you get a dividend while you're holding onto something in gold. And look, it's right there on the area where, you know, underneath it, it looks like the abyss.
Yeah. And that's a strong attractor right across there. Look how it comes from way back here.
Yeah.
Hits it again and stumbles, and then it goes on up.
Yeah.
Going to hit it here and go on up, I think.
Yeah. One of the people
sideways forever here.
This is
the chart that's been going sideways forever.
And I thought they did a deal with some company in Australia to really expand their business, but I'm not 100% if that deal went through or not. But anyway, this is kind of, on a ledge, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
It
could go either way. It could go on down to here.
Yeah.
It's 33, or it could go up and break this. What is this? The 200?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what the straddles would cost on that call and put at the same time, 6 months out.
Yeah. There you go.
And then you play it both ways. And unless your name is Murphy and it lands exactly on your strike price, at least you got something going on one side or the other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that gives you a little idea. Now, the silver you like sometimes, too. What's silver prices looking like? They seem like they can't get above $26. If they get above $26, I think it would fly, right?
23 is where we are right now.
Yeah.
Flat DMA.
Yeah.
If it goes up to the upper band, it's 26. There's an attractor, a really strong attractor right there.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of prices hit that. So
that's really, I mean, you can see above there is where there's an air pocket, you know?
Uh-huh. If it gets above there, it could go on up. Well, and if gold goes up, then silver will too.
Yeah.
Not as much usually, but, you know, silver is a manufacturing metal. So right. Maybe we could see that go on up. We've got a trend line there that's interesting right there. I bet it's going to come down and test that trend line. They drop on down to here, scare everybody out, and then go back up.
And what about Pan American Silver, PAAS? Sometimes that can get going when silver goes.
Yeah, I don't know. That one doesn't look real good.
No, neither does Newmont.
No.
So you got two, you know.
And there's the attractor. It's just holding everything up there.
Yeah.
So it's going to try. It's going to come back down to the lower outer band and test this attractor and then move on up again. But I don't expect it to go any higher than 19.
Yeah, there is a lot of congestion on Newmont and this thing. So I wonder if that's telling us something about the underlying metal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, these people are obviously producing this stuff. So you would think. How about in the last leg, pretty much, which is grain, so like soybeans. Do you know the symbol for that offhand on your screen? Yes, that's not hard to understand.
Yeah, so we've got a flat DMA. It's going to come on down to 1267 and change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, soybeans, I don't trade soybeans because weather influences them.
Oh, yeah.
Cyclical stuff influences them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the S&P. It's just price.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. And it's so liquid. But, you know, this a lot of people are saying, you know, that there's a commodity super cycle going on. And you can see, I mean, look at the price of soybeans. Mm-hmm. I mean, used to be 384, 512, 640. Mm-hmm. And it's up in the 13-14 range. I mean, you know.
Right. Right.
So obviously there is a little bit of a cycle to the upside here. The question is there going to be a 18-20 price on this thing, or is this cycle pretty much ending?
Well, let's take a look at a longer time frame for a second here. Let's look at the monthly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's got more room to go on the upside. 1, 2, 3, a rolling 4. It's going to go on up to 16. But, you know, this is monthly. It takes a long time to build a monthly chart.
Yeah. You know, really, I know you're a technician, so you can look at anything. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. But, you know, there's a thing called growth stocks and a thing called value stocks.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, in my work since the fourth quarter of last year, I've been favoring the growth over value. But I'm starting to think, you know, if they're going to go into small caps, if they're going to get into the mid caps, and if they're going to start buying value and dividend stocks more, then a stock like NVIDIA, NVDA, is a possible reversion to the mean. They have earnings on August 23rd.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously they bid this thing up to the moon. So if your earnings don't come in and really justify that, is there a vulnerability to revert to any kind of mean?
Well, look at the red histogram coming down here, getting closer and closer to the zero line.
Uh-huh.
That wouldn't surprise me to go down into the, but look how shallow it went into the purple back here. So it went into.
You didn't get much out of it.
A bit of a sell mode, but you didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, because so, I mean, the longer term averages on some of the, you know, longer term charts could be as low as something like 270 on a 5-year graph.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on the 5-year graph, you got some at 350. Even on the 1-year graph. Yeah, the 1-year graph looks to me like if it breaks under 440, there's a vacuum underneath it. Mm-hmm. Do you see anything on your graphs, like on your 1-year graph? No. If it got under 440, there could be an air pocket there?
Right there at 342, it could drop to that easily.
That's what I'm saying. That's a pretty big drop. And, you know,
it is.
You know, a put option would certainly expand quite a bit.
100 points.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then you got a gap there on the graph that I'm looking at between 320 and 360. So you got that's an attractor too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you see that, and you look at your RSI divergence there. Uh-huh. Way big new high. So,
yeah, we got a definite divergence going on there.
Let's see. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there could be a pretty good opportunity there because that stock moves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't make money on a stock that doesn't move.
Not very well.
No, but you know, unless this
you
thing,
do, unless you do your options tricks.
Yeah, well, that's true. In fact, on Friday, I messed around with the Amazon 1 day options.
Oh, my.
Because the stock went up to 143 and change, and I thought it would drop by the end of the day. So there was a 143 put going for about $58, and it was at 143 strike. And when the thing dropped to 140, that thing goes from $58 to $300. So wow. I can see why people gamble on those, simply because the risk is so small, cash out of pocket. You know, and then if it gets any kind of a move, because there's no time premium in them, you know, it's like trading almost one for one with the market kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I look at the volume because I think they're crazy options, but, you know, everybody has a little money they can be crazy with sometimes, right? And
you know, I'm taking $20 with me to Las Vegas.
There you go.
I'm going to get real crazy with that.
Maybe you take that $20 and buy some daily puts or calls on on these stocks. And at least you feel like you're making a decision informed on something.
Yeah.
But the volume on weekly options and short dated options is tremendous. You know, on a lot of these stocks. So obviously there's a lot of speculators using them, and I can see why, because, you know, I'm used to, and you're used to trading futures or shorting stock or something like that.
Yeah.
If you do that, you know, the market gaps on you, you know, your risk could be way more than you anticipate.
Depends on which way it gaps, against you or for you.
Well, I'm trying to know, I'm saying the risk. So obviously that would mean you're wrong on your position. And then if it gaps on you, you know, your risk could be way greater than you think. Whereas with the limited risk options, at least you know to the penny how much you are going to be at risk for. So I think that's why people are gravitated to it when they're doing that short-term gambling stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to hear that, you know, your limited risk in options is you can buy $2,000 and your risk is only $2,000. And I'm like, I lost $2,000 every single time. So I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, like, hey, listen, you know, it's not for everybody. And timing is very key. So stuff that you do and things that I look at are very handy to people that are trying to do that short-term trading, because timing is really going to be your salvation or your curse, you know?
Yeah. Hey, time is of the essence.
Yeah. And the timing, you know, can be done with these averages or sunny bands. Timing could be done with the relative strength divergence or looking for reversions to the mean. You know, there's a whole bunch of ways you can kind of enhance your probabilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I've taught thousands of people to trade. And out of that, no two of them have the same idea of what makes the market work.
Right. Right. Well, that's why, you know, the markets would have volatility. If everyone was doing the same thing, it'd be pretty flat. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let's look at the US dollar, because everyone got negative on it when it broke under 100. So that's the dollar index. It's DXY, is it?
Is it?
Just DX? Okay.
Let's see. Continuing. I can't tell what that says under
there. Yeah, no, you've got it. The dollar index.
Do I?
Yeah. And you can see it topped out around 114 in your chart there. And it goes all the way down to under 100. And then the whole planet gets negative on it under 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see on your stuff and stuff that I'm looking at, under 100 was actually a zone for accumulating, you know?
Yeah.
But it's in a big traffic jam as far as your stuff is concerned.
It is. It's a definite traffic jam. And we've got a little bit of room on the upside, but then we've got to come back down to this flat DMA again at 101.
Yeah. Some people do think, obviously, it will resume a downtrend, and that big, thick line you've got that's rolling to the downside would indicate that they might be right.
Yeah. look at this channel. See these two horizontal lines? That's the channel that's been in for months.
Right.
But this 200's pushing it back down. It's having trouble above there. If it gets above there, it'll go on up to 104, but it's struggling getting up there.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, the two main currencies that they look at are the euro. So you want to look at the euro and see what that looks like.
No, I don't know the symbol for that one.
Oh, EU?
No, not on me.
Okay.
Dollar EU, maybe? No. How about?
How about Japanese yen? That has to be JY, doesn't it? And they were talking about changing their yield.
USD.
EURO.
EURO. There's the euro.
There you go. Yep,
dollar
you got it.
Pair. That's the euro dollar pair.
No, that's the euro currency.
Yeah.
It says Forex right there.
Yeah.
So it's similar, obviously, to the dollar index. It's in a traffic jam. If it gets above there, that's where people think it might be going, is that 112 area, if the dollar was to resume its downtrend.
Well, look at this. We've got a tractor that hits here, hits over here numerous times, And that's where it's hitting right near it now again, is right at that attractor. So it's got to get above that. And this little red dot over here to the right shows me exactly where price is right now. I got a bunch of words on here together. Sorry about that. But the 21 is right above it and the 55 is below it. And I think it has to break through this attractor to make it on up any higher.
Yeah.
And if that goes higher, does that mean the dollar goes lower?
It does. And it would probably be helpful for gold too.
Uh-huh.
How about the Japanese yen though? Because they were talking about changing their yield curve control. And then right after they did that, you know, they started buying bonds again. So some people were thinking it could go to 150. You see anything it might go to?
Well, that, you know, there's a previous high up there.
Yeah.
Right, 151. But
well, the gold and the purple are kind of, they're crossing a little bit, the gold and purple, aren't they, a little bit?
Purple's on top, yeah. And you see this green getting shorter and shorter?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's moving up toward the zero line, and that's telling me it wants to go up.
Right. And today's action looks like it's up a little bit.
It is up. It's up from a down.
Yeah.
It went down a couple, 1, 2, 3 days.
And well, it hit your attractor there, didn't it?
No.
It pretty much touched the purple and the gold.
Yeah, it touched the DMA.
So that would be an area where if it was going to bounce from, that would be the neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm. And because it's flat, almost flat right through here, it's probably going to bounce off of it. And it'll have to test this line right here, 144 something, 940.
Uh-huh.
It'll have to test that to get any higher. But, you know, chances are it'll test, come up to try to test that and then fall.
And the 55-day that you use is rising.
Mm-hmm. It's right in here.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's not bad.
And that 55 is right at the DMA too. It's right under it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great neighborhood to defend.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. That's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we do. You know, there's a lot of big stocks.
Yeah, better there.
Yeah. So we got the dollar that is in a range bound, but you know, the major 200 day is indicating that it could resume a downtrend.
Mm-hmm.
And the yen and the euro are also stuck, but the yen looks like it might be in an uptrend, and it's a trend that has some upside potential if it got going, huh?
And look at that trend line I just drew. That went down off these highs.
Yep.
Hit this high.
Yep.
Price came above it. It's testing it again now.
Yep. So that's the big neighborhood to defend.
That is the neighborhood to defend.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the big stocks that have been the favorites in the first half of the year and mm-hmm. see how they look now for the second half. And let's put up right. Microsoft, MSFT.
I know that one.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go back, skinny this up a little bit here. So we've got a line in the sand right over here. And yeah, I think Microsoft's going to go a little bit further down and then go back up again.
Yeah, it's definitely had the pause to refresh that some of these other ones we were talking about could have, like the NVIDIA.
Yeah. I'm just going to try to get back up to this 353.
Yeah.
And 328, that's pretty good price. What's that?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
But the thing going into purple is not particularly positive.
That's negative.
Yeah. So, of course, if we got above, like, where's that 55-day? That might be one to keep an eye on. The 55-day you have there?
This gold one right here.
Yeah. What's the number currently on that? 334?
Yep. 334.81.
Yeah. So, you know, because these numbers, you know, are ones to keep an eye on, you know?
Absolutely.
And
so that could easily come up to the 55 and go back down. Or it could come to the 55. When it does that, it'll break the DMA and the 21 both at the same time.
And that's at 3.
And then we're moving up.
And what did we say that number was about? 3 who?
330. What's right at 339.
339.
This one's 335.
Yeah, on a short-term graph, I've got some. That would be a positive as well, particularly if it could sustain that number, not just hit it and then go back in the tank, you know?
Right, right. I think it's going to continue. I call this stumbling down here. I think it's going to continue to stumble for a few days and then go back up.
Yeah. So it's still in the trying to gather its legs type phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look at the run it had. I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you got to figure there's somebody in there who wants to take a profit. You got to figure somebody wants to hedge. You know, somebody.
Every time it goes down like this, it gets another Sunny Bands buy signal. Buy, 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 all the way up.
Yeah.
Here's the buy signal right here. So that's a pretty good run from.
Yeah.
251 to 363.
Yeah. Now, is that a big maroon line there? The that's at 280. That's a 200-day moving average?
Yeah.
You see, now you know where I'm coming from as far as if in this time frame where I think we both could admit historically it can get rocky, which is August, September, October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were going to revert to the longer term mean, you know, that would be a number that it could revert to if the winds of change were to blow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think people should always be aware of where these longer term averages are. Because
I've interviewed two astrologers recently for my podcast, the Sunny Coast Show.
Yeah.
And both of them are thinking we've got a August to September, October low coming in and then going back up after that.
Yeah. And even, you know, Buffett is holding like $147 billion in cash. And I hear
now, what does he do with all that cash?
He puts it in 5.5% T-bills and he goes dancing down the street is what he does.
That's a good one.
But anyway, okay, that gives us an idea on Microsoft. What about Amazon? You know, that again, that went up to that 143 and then there was a gap that got filled at 140. So that 140 seems to be support.
Yeah, 141 is right where we are right now on Amazon. I think this thing's going on up.
Yeah.
Let's see, we've got a tractor right there. We're at least going to go to 146.
Yeah.
And that could be in the next few days.
And that gold is starting to turn up. So that's, you know.
Well, this is what I was talking about on a stock we talked about just a few minutes ago. See how it goes down to the zero line on red, goes down, 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 and doesn't pass it and goes right back up again.
Right.
That's very strong.
Yep.
The fact that it couldn't get down below there on a correction.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a strong stock. I think we're going to move on up to that.
Yeah, and they're into everything, for God's sake, you know, AWS, and then you've got, I hear on the radio, back to school normally used to be go to Kohl's or go to Macy's or wherever you go, Walmart. And now Amazon, back to school, go to Amazon. I guess nobody wants to leave the house, just get boxes on your front door all day. That's, you know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them delivered by drone. I want to put one of those pads in my backyard.
Unbelievable. So anyway, Amazon certainly looks good. How about Google? G-O-O-G?
Google. G-O-O-G-L.
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for that one to go up. I've got a big holding in Google here.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely got the upside momentum still.
Yeah, look what we've got there. If you go back, squeeze that up real tight, we've got a price of 150. It's currently at 131 or so.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, market never goes straight up, or it kind of goes straight down sometimes, but it, you know, it wiggles all the way back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's got some wiggling to do in through here, come back out to this area, and it will wiggle again around this nice even number 140, and then it'll go on up to 150.
If somebody's looking at a Fibonacci correction from 150 to 83, do you have any Fibonacci numbers you throw up there ever?
Oh, yeah. I'm having
one on top
Fibonacci
of
Queen this week. You know, Carolyn Borodin, the Fibonacci queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have lunch with her, get her to sign my book. Oh, look where we are. I mean, we are right at the 76.4 on the Fibonacci retracement on this thing.
Yeah.
So it'll probably come right back down into here to the 61 at 124 before going back up.
Yeah, because it looked like it would have a Fibonacci throwback here.
Mm-hmm.
And if it stalls from here, you know, there could be a reason. And then, of course, the 200 day is at 100. So, you know,
yeah,
it's very far.
Yeah.
So, but it looks, obviously it looks constructive.
Yeah, I don't think we're going back to 100 anytime.
No. Not unless there was something that, you know, obviously a shock to the system.
Yeah. Well,
and a 6.5% Fed funds rate might be the shock, you know?
Yeah. But Google's like Amazon, you know. I mean, we all use Google.
Yeah. And they've got the eyeballs like Meta.
Uh-huh.
So when you have the eyeballs, you can always monetize them.
Yeah. And if I say, okay, Google, my phone will start talking to me.
Yeah. That's why Meta was one of the easier calls when it goes down to 100 or something. I mean, you know, even a moron, if he has 2 billion eyeballs, can find something to sell them.
Exactly.
You know, what about Apple? That one definitely is gone in the corrective phase in the last couple of days.
And look at that. Look, we're down almost 4 points. But let's look at where the attractors are, right through there. So we've got a little farther to go down.
Here's another thing is if Apple were to give it up and Microsoft gives it up further, you know, is there enough juice in the rest of the market to get it to go to new highs? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the $64 million question.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Historically, I mean, I think they've been necessary to go up for the markets to go up.
Well, look where your RSI is on Apple.
Yeah. No, that's a short term, way overdone.
It gave up.
Yeah. But like you say, it can stay low for a while.
It can.
You know, so we'll have
it
to see.
It stays high longer than it stays low.
Yeah. Well, I think people just woke up and smelt the coffee and they go like, this is a company whose revenue for three quarters is dropping. Now, if this was XYZ Corp, would we be bidding it up through the roof?
Do you have Macintosh computers or PCs?
PC.
Good. Yeah.
But no, but I mean, there's always that renewing cycle and they got the Apple 15 coming out in September. So they are hoping that in the fourth quarter, all these people will redo it. But I mean, a lot of people are pretty satisfied with their phones, you know, and they,
yeah,
you know, everything they want the phone can do, they're doing. So, you know, the upgrading,
I buy a new one.
Yeah. It's kind of like Rocky 7, you know, you had enough of Rocky after the first four, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't, you know, what else can they make your Apple fit?
Yeah. Well, they can probably do little features, but the little features will be enough for everyone to scrub the old ones, you know. Now, yeah, I think you do have a group of
dollars.
Yeah. You do have a group of people who just want to become, you know, always show off their phone as the most current. So that you got that crowd, I guess.
Right. But Apple really has a fairly low share of the market in phones.
Now, what about Berkshire Hathaway as just a big company? Because he is buying less of his shares now than he was.
Look there, it's almost up 13.
Yeah, 13 points
on Berkshire.
Yeah,
look at that; it's above the attract. It's above its all-time high.
Huh. Now, when you get into something like that, it's there's no real technical thing to look at because it's above all resistance. The only thing, you know, how do you figure out if it's
see a longer?
Yeah,
yeah. See, it's
now the gold is up at 511. You know, that's is that a bit extended or? The gold, you know, the one in the bottom, the chart that.
Oh, this thing?
Yeah, the dynamic MAV.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely. And these numbers are just measuring the difference between the gold and purple DMA.
Uh-huh.
So the numbers themselves don't have any significance that I'm aware of. But, you know, it got out above those. See these over here, all these highs? It definitely got out above that.
And it's hard to believe because they have, I think, 40% of the portfolio is in Apple.
Is that right?
I thought that was the case. I can't confirm that 100%, but and their railroad business is losing money, but I guess they're making money with Geico because, you know, Geico jacked all the auto premiums up because I guess they were getting hit during the pandemic or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're not getting hit. So when you raise the premiums and then you don't have to pay them out, that's profitable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's
took this forever. Hitting this, hitting it again, going below it, hitting it again, and then it.
Now you see where it topped out at 360-210. What on your indicators was? Well, I can see the green line was indicating a rollover, so that would have been your first sign.
This is Sunnybank sell signal right here.
Yeah, your first sell signal, even possible with this Berkshire, would be rolling underneath 355 and getting that green line to turn down a bit, right?
Exactly.
And that's not going to happen until you get some reasonable weakness.
Well, when I see in the next week, if it presses on below above the 361, which is that all-time high out there, 360.10. So if it passes on through that, we're still going up.
Now, I see a kind of a divergence here. I don't know if it's a divergence on the dynamic MAV in the middle chart. When it was running up in 2021, and then it dipped, and then it went this big new high, but the area down there lagged that previous area.
Yeah.
What was that telling you?
That's telling me to look for shorts, but as long as the gold line on the DMA is on top, I don't go short.
I got you. So really the only time that told you that would be underneath around 322 or whatever.
It would have to go, well, see here, it turned to purple though at that level.
Yeah.
So you have to go like this and go below the DMA for me to go short on that.
Right. Well, no, you know, you don't want to step in front of a freight train, that's for sure.
Or try to catch a falling knife.
Yeah. Or a rising one if it's being thrown upward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that is, that's, you know, gives you, and Berkshire, you know, obviously is a diversified company. So it's not just tech, but it does have other stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then just the industrial metals. There's a few of them that I was wondering if they might have some value. Let's look at Freeport-McMoRan, because there's supposed to be an infrastructure thing coming, right?
What's the?
FCX.
What?
FCX, Frank Charlie X-ray. There you go.
Oh, that's got a nice head and shoulders pattern. But this is essentially horizontal all the way through here. What do they do?
They're copper.
Copper.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's going to be a big infrastructure initiative, you know, they're going to need materials. And that's why, you know, some of these material ETFs have been doing pretty good.
I haven't seen any infrastructure in my neighborhood.
No, but like it's supposed to be coming. Supposedly, they've already passed the financing of it. They just haven't implemented it yet.
Yeah, I use some repair to my roads.
Yeah, well, everybody says that across the country. So that's why I'm saying there could be an opportunity here and they're going to need materials. But you would say this doesn't look too bad as long as it stays above 39.69.
Yep. As long as it stays above there, we're safe. But if it goes back down, then it's going to have a sizable down because of that head and shoulders pattern.
And what about steel, X?
X is steel.
X is U.S. steel.
Uh-huh. That's the same pattern, isn't it? It's got that head and shoulders. It goes down, it goes back up, and another shoulder comes back down. They say that head and shoulders patterns, let me show you this little trend line right here. It's actually more than a trend line, but you see where it comes down to here?
Uh-huh.
So from right there is the trend line. And if I grab the pointer and I move this thing down, I mean, it could go down to here. That would be the breaking of that head and shoulders pattern. Head and shoulders patterns are the most failed of all patterns. So I don't know what that really means, but that's what they say. That's the measured move.
And it's August. I wonder if there's a back to school play out there. Is Macy's look any good, Em?
Does anybody go to Macy's anymore?
Oh, I think some people do. I know back east, it's a real popular thing.
Huh. I just go to Amazon.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people do too.
Yeah. So look at that horizontal line. That attractor is just going side. I mean, it comes into play over here and in again here. This is where I drew it from.
Yeah.
It hits it again here. It hits it again here. And now it's trying it from the underside. So it's got to get out above that attractor to go up. We've got green showing on the histogram, which suggests that we could be going up. This one doesn't look good.
No, it looks like it's stuck in the mud. How about Target? How about TGT? Because that thing used to be big in price and then it went way down.
M is for mud, is it?
Yeah, M is for mud.
And see, Target doesn't
work. Yeah, Target's holding on for dear life, huh?
Yeah, all the retail stores are having trouble, I think.
Yeah, because they're all going to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the last rung before we go into the abyss on this one a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the what is the green just basically selling is still negative
over here?
Yeah,
it's telling me to look for a long, but you know it's still negative, but it's trying to move up little by little, but it's not getting very far. And I wouldn't take that trade right now for anything.
Yeah, that is basically a hope trade, and hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, my friend Adrian Tograi calls this into wishing.
Intuition. That's a good one. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour. Is there any other markets you wanted to highlight that we've obviously gone across a whole bunch of spectrums here?
I think we've got it.
Yeah. One last one would be the financials. Let's take a look at, say, Bank of America, BAC.
That's the same pattern as those other ones.
Yeah, it looks like everything's in a traffic
run
jam.
Up, and then we've got sideways, all the way down through here. Yeah. We do have a little run up yesterday.
Well, yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
Kind of retreating from that now.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come up and try to hit this 200.
Yeah.
Right now it's at the 21 and the 50 right in here.
Yeah.
So it's sitting on those as support. It's going to come up and try to touch the 200 at 34. So if you want to make a play from 32 to 34, there's points, but
that's not too much. I think a lot of these charts are illustrating your point or your philosophy in that, you know, it's better to buy something that is breaking out and has momentum than to hold on to something that you're just hoping the momentum shows up.
Yeah.
In other words, this thing would probably be a much better buy at 34 than it is now, because if it hits 34 and all these things turn up, then it opens the door to 40 and 45. Right now, the door to 40 and 45 looks like it's cemented closed.
Yeah.
So you're
I'd rather pay more than try to bottom fish.
Right. And you obviously can scan many, many stocks and many, many markets and try to come up with ones that fit those parameters. And that's probably how you can help people quite a bit, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the top of the hour. You know, let's talk about getting a hold of you and any type of special promotion you might have.
Well, right now I have as much as 20% off on bundle deals for the month of August. If you'd like to get some of my stuff, just give me a call. I'm at 760-908-3070. I welcome calls because trading's only business.
Yeah. And you obviously have a lot to bring to the table. And like I try to say to people when I'm trying to show them what I do is, you know, if you're experienced, this kind of stuff can enhance the stuff you're already doing. And if you're new, obviously you're looking for a methodology or you're looking for a discipline, and this type of information can be helpful to you to learn how to find your own discipline. And so either experienced or new guys can all benefit quite a bit from this, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
So that's the key.
And I'm going to put in this chat here. If you go to Amazon and buy my new book, the first 100 purchasers get free indicators.
Well, that's a good deal. Absolutely. All right. Well, again, thanks a lot for being here, Sonny. As far as option,
thank you.
Yeah. As far as Option Professor is concerned, if you go to optionprofessor.com, you can get a free trial to the indicators that I look at, which are basically I have my own set of moving averages. I have my own set of relative strength. And I also do reversion to the mean. And then, of course, I know about the options, both on the short-term options and longer-term ones. And, of course, how to use them as far as trade them, rolling them up, spreading them out, combination strategies, because I've been doing it for decades. So that's optionprofessor.com. Put your information in. I'll check back with you. Or you can just shoot an email, optionprofessor@gmail.com, and we can explain how we can help you. But we do have a free trial for you, so you can take a free look and see exactly how we can help. All right. Always a pleasure, Sonny. Good luck out here at the convention and enjoy yourself. And I'm going to send it back over to David.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thanks. Great discussion again today. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also just go to timingresearch.com to get access to today's show as soon as I can get it processed, as well as any of the past shows and presentations. Also just want to thank my guests again for today, Sonny Harris of moneymentor.com and the option professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.